Romans chapter 4, we shall begin to read with the 17th verse. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I notice in my Bible, that 17th verse, let's look at it briefly again. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him. Now in my Bible, there's a little number one by the word before. Then I look over in the margin, and it said GR, that stands for Greek. In other words, the Greek, the original scripture said, like unto him. Instead of saying before him, as the King James translates it, the Greek says, like unto him. In other words, Abraham did just like God did. What did he do? He called those things which be not as though they were. Like unto him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Friends, remember this, that faith calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's what causes them to come into being. Now, I'm sure of this one thing. Having taught on the subject of faith for 43 years now, I'm sure of this one thing, that this is the one thing that's hard to get people to understand. I mean good people, saved people, born-again people, spirit-filled people. Now, why, I don't know. To me, it's always been a puzzle that you couldn't get Christians to believe the Bible. Perhaps there is nothing spoken of in the Bible which is quite so hard for most Christians to do as to call those things which be not as though they were. Many honest people think that they would be lying if they did it, so they fear to do it. But let's just stop and consider for a moment. The Bible tells us that God cannot lie. Is that right? You know that? Bible said God cannot lie. And God calls those things which be not as though they were. Amen, isn't that right? Is he lying? No, he can't lie. You see, he speaks, for instance, in Revelation the 13th chapter and the 8th verse, God speaks of Jesus as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, Jesus did not hang on the cross until thousands of years afterwards. Then in Ephesians, the 1st chapter and the 4th verse, God says that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and we weren't even born yet. Amen. He calls those things which be not as though they were. Well, did he lie when he did it? No, he's not a liar. Now, you notice here in Romans 4:17, as it is written, now notice this, I have made thee. In other words, God's counting it already done, calling it already done. He didn't say, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He said, I have done it. that Abraham and Sarah didn't have any children at all. Yet he said, I have made thee the father of many nations. Before him are like unto him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham was made like unto God in this thing, in that he tells us to fall in the foot, and the Bible tells us to fall in the footsteps of Abraham, in that he called those things which be not as though they were. Now, because God does this, because God calls those things which be not as though they were, and he tells us to do it, it's impossible for it to be wrong in the least degree. You see, the problem comes between our heads and our hearts. Because our heads have been educated one way, you see, and only to believe in things seen or felt or heard or whatever the physical senses are telling. That's the way your mind's educated, actually. But you see, the Bible brings us knowledge that's not gained by that way. It just reveals the Word to us, reveals God's plan to us. And we accept that in our hearts, believe that in our hearts. And so, it's difficult then for people who are, and most Christians are, walking in the natural to walk by faith and to call those things which be not as though they were. We need to realize, though, friends, that you can sin in a lot of different ways in what people think. That any disobedience is sin. Sin is disobeying God, and holiness is simply obeying and pleasing God in all things at all times. And the Bible said in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Without faith. In other words, you could turn that like this. Without calling those things which be not as though they were, it's impossible to please God. Amen. It's just that simple, but there it is. Again, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, let's put the definition of God's word in there. In other words, we walk by calling those things which be not as though they were, and not by what we see. Amen. But without faith, without calling those things as being not as though they were, it's impossible to please God. Again, remember Hebrews 7:11-6 said. Now it's amazing to me that the church as a whole has really majored in the minors, things of minor importance they've majored in, instead of majoring in things that are of major importance. And it's amazing, you see, how that we've spent so much time, and that's the reason it's difficult then to get truth over to people, is because that we've been religiously brainwashed into the New Testament taught. Now, you know, the Bible does teach right conduct and good works. You'll hear people say, well, I want my life to please the Lord, and they're thinking about right conduct and good works. Did you know you could have all the good works and all the right conduct and still not please God? That's not speaking disparagingly of right conduct and good works. You're going to be rewarded for that. But you can have all of that and still not be pleasing to God. Because that text said in Hebrews there, without faith it's impossible to please him. Amen. Without faith. Now, one part of God's will is that we shall call those things which be not as though they were. This attitude honors God because it honors his word, because we are believing his word without outward evidence, and that pleases him. Remember he said there in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Praise the Lord. This kind of attitude also puts us in an attitude of faith to receive great things from God. Now then, keep in your mind what this text said here, and let's go read Mark 11, 24 real quickly. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations, like unto him which quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God is a faith God. We are faith children of a faith God. In quoting this verse of Scripture, I've had people to say to me, are preaching from it or teaching on it, well, yeah, but now, Brother Hagin, that was God that called those things which be not as though it were. It's all right for God to do it. If it's all right for God to do it, it's all right for me to do it. If it's wrong for me to do it, it's wrong for God to do it. And then secondly, we are children of God. Well, children of God ought to act like God. Children of the devil act like the devil, don't they? Well, children of God ought to act like God. One way that God acts is he calls those things which be not as though they were. All right, now, let's read in that light, you see. Let's read then Mark 11, 24. Here Jesus is speaking, and he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, in believing that you receive them, you must of a necessity call those things which be not as though they were, because you don't have them yet, do you? Because he said, and ye shall have them. That means you don't have them yet. You see, here's where we fail. Most good, honest Christian people want to have it first, and then they're going to believe they've got it. Well, that wouldn't be faith. I said, that wouldn't be faith. It doesn't take any faith to believe something that you believe you have something you already got. It don't take any faith. You know it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe you're here in this service this morning. You know it, don't you? Amen. Isn't that right? It doesn't take any faith. Well, you see what he said now. Look at it again carefully. What things soever ye desire when you pray, not after you pray, not the next day, not when it comes to pass, but right then, the moment you pray, believe that ye receive and ye shall have. Now, isn't that simple? When is it that you're going to believe that you'll receive? When you have it? No. Before you have it, then you'll have it. The believing comes before the having. The having comes after the believing. Look at it again now, because it takes your mind a little while to change and get renewed with the Word of God, because you were thinking in a different realm, living in a different level, natural level, because this is above the natural, above human thinking. God said back there in Isaiah, high as heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they're my Father. So this is God's words, and this is God's thoughts. And it's as high above the man's thinking as the heaven is above the earth. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Now, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. When are you going to have them? After you believe you receive them. When do you believe you receive them? Before you have them. Then if I believe I receive before I have to call those things which be not as though they were. That agrees with Romans 4:17. Doesn't it? Absolutely. Now, faith calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's what I'm talking about. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Somebody said believing prayer always ends in the glad confession, it's mine. I have it now. Praise the Lord. Now then, let's look at another verse of Scripture in the light. Look at James 5:14, and look at that Scripture in the light of what the Bible said, this text here in Romans says faith is. Faith calleth those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. Now look at James 5:14. Here the scripture said, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anoint all in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed sins, it shall be forgiven. Now here's someone in the church that's sick. They call for the elders. They anoint them with oil. Nothing happens. And they said, well, they didn't pray the prayer of faith for me then. Now see, that's natural human reasoning. If they'd prayed the prayer of faith, it would have worked. It didn't work. I didn't get healed, so they didn't pray the prayer of faith. Now, first of all, your unbelief can nullify the effects of their praying. You need to get that in your mind. People have got the erroneous idea that if you're strong enough in faith and you're a man of God, you can pray the prayer of faith and it'll work whether I believe or whether I don't, whether I'm living right or wrong. But it won't. I said it won't. If there's anybody, anywhere, any preacher, any evangelist that can pray the prayer of faith and get you healed against your unbelief, then we ought to follow him instead of Jesus, because he's a greater Savior than Jesus, isn't a greater man, a greater prophet. Because Mark 6:6 said Jesus himself in his hometown of Nazareth, read Mark 6:5-6, said he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk, and he marveled at their unbelief. Well, if there's any preacher alive that can override people's unbelief and get them healed, then they can be what Jesus did. We ought to pronounce him to be the Messiah and follow him. But the man that said he could is a liar. I don't mind telling you, he lied. He told an untruth. He may have done it unconsciously, not deliberately, but he still told an untruth. Are you listening to me? I know you can't do that. Now, I know from experience, we used to, I pastored a good many years ago, little church not too far from Dallas here, about 45 miles, during World War number two. We had a dear lady in our church that was bound with arthritis in the wheelchair. She had not gotten saved until in recent time, filled with the Spirit. And the doctors had said to her that your body will become as stiff as a board. Now, if you'd rather be just straight, stretched out like a tube before, well, just stay in bed most of the time, you see, and your body will just be. Or if you'd rather be in a seated position, stay in the chair most of the time. So she'd rather be in a seated position and stayed in the chair. And her body was as stiff as a board. In that kind of position, you see, just like you could take her out of the chair and stand her on the floor. Of course, she couldn't stand up, but hold her there, and she looked like she's sitting down. Her body's stiff, just as stiff as a two before. Well, what's strange about this is that, and yet it's not strange, Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it done unto you. In that wheelchair, some virus could come around, a flu or something, you know, and she and her husband never missed church. He pushed her to church in that wheelchair, and she'd ask for prayer. You'd lay hands on her and anoint her with oil and pray, and instantly she'd be healed without exception every single time. Virus, flu, anything like that. Yet she kept her arthritis. Well, I became quite concerned about it. We had a little prayer group. Little few ladies would meet on Wednesday afternoon at church and pray. My wife always met with them. I usually did. So we went down to Sister Tyler's house. We went down there by revelation. I mean, the Spirit of God revealed to me what to do. He did not reveal to me the outcome. I expected her to be perfectly healed. But he just revealed to me what to do. So we went down there by revelation. And we prayed a little bit, seven or eight of the ladies and myself there in the room. And again, I got my directions all clear in my spirit. And I said to the ladies, now, set her chair facing me. I was standing in the corner room just as by the door when you came into the room, a large room. She must have been seated at least 15 feet away in the wheelchair. And have her to face me. Now, I'm not going to touch her. I'm not even getting around her. I'm not going to get any closer to her. Then all you ladies stand over in this corner and watch this, see, because I knew what was going to happen. I said, now you watch. Keep your eyes open. You know, the Bible said watch and pray. So keep your eyes open and watch. Don't shut your eyes. And I just pointed my finger to her and said, now, my sister, arise and walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's my witness. Those people are witness. My wife said this morning she's a witness to the fact that suddenly that woman just rose right up out of that chair, just sitting up here in the air, nothing under her. She's that high above the chair. And then this power that came on her pulled her out of the chair, and she's sitting up here. You see, and imagine this is the edge of the chair, and she's sitting out there in front of the chair up above it. The power of God come on her. If she would have accepted it, if she'd have yielded to it, if she'd believed it, it would have straightened her body out. But instead of that, she got fearful and cried out in fear and reached back with those little crippled hands and got a hold of the chair and pulled it up under and just her flop fell down in the chair. Now, when she did, without thinking, I realized afterwards, in fact, I almost turned around to look to see who's saying it. I suddenly realized the words were coming out of my mouth. I said, sister, you know, I knew she's saved. I knew she's filled with the Spirit. I know she, you know, flu or virus or anything comes around, you can pray for it, you get healed. But I meant relative to her arthritis. I said, you don't have an ounce of faith, do you? I meant relative to her arthritis. I said, you don't believe you'll ever get out of that chair, do you? I didn't realize I'd said it till after I'd said it, you see. And she answered back just as honest. She said, no, Brother Hagin, I don't mind telling you, I'll never get out of this chair. I'll go to my grave in this chair. And she did. Well, now, was that God's fault? No. No, power of God came on her. We prayed it down on her, but we could not override her doubt or her unbelief. Now, there's some things that I'm reluctant to say anything about at the moment, but we're far enough away from it, I can say it now. 11 years ago, this month, right now, 11 years ago this month, we were here in the city of Dallas in a seminar, faith seminar, teaching day and night on the subject of faith. Now, there was a missionary who was brought back here by air to this city who had a missionary from Thailand, I believe, who had cancer. Started out as cancer, one of the kidneys had spread up in his body, and now his lungs are cancerous, his whole body's full of cancer. Well, where we were conducting a meeting, he was there on a hospital bed. I mean, unless it's a miracle, he's going to die. I spent hours. He heard every lesson I taught on faith, and I spent hours praying with him. And one day I'd been praying for 2 hours and a half with him. And as I was praying in the Spirit, in other tongues, and interceding on his behalf, suddenly Jesus stood in the room. I saw him. I had my eyes on him. I saw him just as plainly as I see you sitting there. In fact, more clear, more plain. The light was better. I saw Jesus. He said to me, I've come to heal him. I just simply said to him, I didn't tell him I saw anything. I just simply said to him, and you know, you could interpret that, the presence of the Lord's here to heal, see. I said, Jesus has come to heal you. Now, he's bedfast and really can't do this, but yet he did. He leaped out of bed on the other side of the bed, ran down to the foot of the bed, and ran right up. The presence of Jesus. He knew right where he stood. He said to me later, I didn't see him. I told him after that song. He said, I didn't see him like you did, but he's standing right there, wasn't he? I said, yeah, he was. He ran right up in front of him. Reached his hands out this way as though he's going to take from him. Dropped his hands down and looked, came over across his face, and he backed off and sat down on the stoop at the foot of the bed. When he did, I said to him, what's the matter? He kept saying, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. I said, you can't what? He said, I just can't receive my healing. I said, yes, you can. And the Lord's manifest himself in this special way to encourage your faith. Jesus, I still didn't tell him yet that I'd seen the Lord. I just said, Jesus is here to heal you. And he leaped to his feet, took a step forward, stood right there almost nose to nose with Jesus, reached his hands out as though he was going to receive. Then they let him fall, a look of disappointment or disgust or dismay or something came across his face, and he backed off and sat down on that stool again, put his head in his hands and said, I can't, I can't, I can't. I said, you can't what? He said, I can't receive my healing. I said, yes, you can. And Jesus has manifested himself in a special way, out of the ordinary, you see. He's here to heal you. He said, I know it. He's standing right there, isn't he? I said, yes, he is. He sure is. He stood up again, took a step forward, reached his hands out as though, you know, to receive. Let them fall to his sides, sat down on the stool, said, I can't, I can't, I can't. I said, you can't what? He said, I can't. I know I can't. I just can't. I can't receive my healing. I said, yes, you can. No. He said, I know I can't. I'll never forget it the longest day I live. Jesus turned to me and looked so sad, such a look of sadness in his eyes and such a tone of sadness in his voice. He said, you see, I've come to heal him and he won't let me. Now, he said to me, he'll be dead, and he told me when, and he died, just like he told me. And somebody said, well, the Lord took him. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Thank God he went home to be with the Lord, but the Lord didn't take him. Get that straight in your thinking. If he'd listened to the Lord and took what God had for him, he'd still been here. Well, I'm glad he made it. I'm glad he's up there shouting up and down the streets of gold today. But I wish he'd stayed here and done the work God wanted him to do. Amen. I don't want to settle for the second best. I want the best, don't you? Amen. Now, what am I saying to you? Well, I'm saying this, you see, that many have thought, well, if you prayed the prayer of faith for me, it'll work. No, no, whose faith was that that brought that manifestation of Jesus' presence there in that room? It wasn't a man on the bed because he didn't accept him when he came. Whose faith was it that brought that manifestation of God's power down on that woman, that wheelchair? Well, it was my faith and those ladies that was praying. Our faith could bring it to them, but we couldn't accept it for them. The old saying in the world, you know, you can take a mule to drink or a horse to drink, but you can't make him drink. You can take him to water, but you can't make him drink. And we can pray the blessings of God down on people, but we can't receive it for them. Now, if you would interpret that in this now, is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anoint the Lord, name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith to save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The prayer of faith. Now, instead of using the word faith, let's use God's definition of faith, you see. First of all, he tells us about faith in action, that faith calls those things which be not as though they were. Secondly, Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't that right? All right, then, the prayer of the evidence of things not seen will save the sick. The prayer of faith. The prayer that calls those things which be not as though they were will save the sick. Are you following me? Now, you see, I knew that. I was healed as a Baptist boy up here in the city of McKinney. Second Tuesday of August of 1934, the 8th day of August of 1934. Well, I really didn't know anybody else that believed in divine healing except me. I just stood alone as a teenager. I started preaching as a young Baptist boy preacher. Somebody came the next year to our town, had a revival, built a church out of it, called it Full Gospel Tabernacle. I didn't know then, actually, it was an Assembly of God church, but it didn't have the name Assembly on it. For several years they didn't, I guess 8 or 10 years before they ever put it. It's called the Full Gospel Tabernacle. Well, I'd always just done my own praying, stood alone. But one Sunday, after a Sunday service, on a Monday morning when I woke up, had no other kind of, no kind of symptoms or anything. Just when I woke up on Monday morning after Sunday services, the right side of my face was dead, paralyzed. I could pinch it just as hard as I could, couldn't feel a thing. Slap my jaw, couldn't feel a thing. Try to wrinkle up my forehead, this side wouldn't wrinkle. Take no movement at all, the other side would. You try to talk this side of your mouth and take any movement at all, it's dead. No movement right down across the face here, so you're just dead. This side of you, when you talk, you're talking out of that side of your mouth because that's the only side that would work. You see, this side of your lips is dead from that way around. If you laughed or something, one corner of your mouth this way would run all the way around to your ear almost. Well, I'd always just done my own praying and stood alone, but now then I found out these people believe in divine healing. This is Monday, and so I just said, well, I'll just wait till Wednesday night and go down to Full Gospel Tabernacle and have Brother Connor to anoint me with oil and pray. You see? Well, I didn't realize then till Monday night, till I lay down to go to sleep, that this eyelid wouldn't function right. So, because I lay down to go to sleep, one eye open, one eye shut. You ever try to go to sleep, one eye open, one eye shut? And so I reached up there, you see, and I pulled this with my finger, that eyelid down. I don't know why, but it just slowly opened back up. So both Monday and Tuesday night, I just rolled my eyeballs back up in the head and went on to sleep. Wednesday night, I was down to Full Gospel Tabernacle. Now, I'm Baptist, you see. But yet I know what faith is. I've learned from the Word of God. And so ordinarily, they would close out their Wednesday night service with everybody coming around the altar to pray, but they'd had some business to tend to, and it's an extra long service. And so when the pastor finished his Bible lesson, he just said, because of the lateness of the hour, let's just all stand, be dismissed. And we all stood up, and I lifted my hand and said, as loud as I could, Brother Pastor, I wanted you to pray for my healing, please, before we go. And every time I said that, this corner of my mouth went all the way around to my ear almost, because this side of my face is dead, takes no movement, whatever. And so he said, all right, come right on. So I marched down the aisle, that old sawdust aisle, that old tabernacle, and over the sawdust floor in it. And he took a bottle of olive oil off the pulpit and anointed my forehead and prayed. Now, I don't know to this day one word he said. I was listening for this word, for the word amen. Because that's my signal, you see. That's when I'm going to start calling those things which be not as though they were. You see? So when he said amen, I lifted my hand and shouted as loud as I could, thank God it's gone. Now, you understand, I said that in faith. I'm calling because I knew what faith was. I'm calling those things which be not as though they were. Faith calls those things which be not as though they were. Well, I said, thank God it's gone. The pastor said, well, that's just like Jesus. And then he asked me to offer the benediction, so I prayed. And as I prayed, you see, well, this side of my face took all the movement, the corner of my mouth run around my ear almost. Then the service is over. People rushed up around me and said, Kenneth, did the Lord really heal you and Brother Connor and anoint you with oil and pray? He said, sure did. Well, you know you don't look any different. Do you feel any different? No, I said, not a bit. Well, you'll admit you don't feel any different. We know you don't look any different. What makes you think you're here? See, now, you see, faith doesn't go by looks or feelings. Faith calleth those things which be not as though they were. It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, they said, we don't understand it. I said, I don't either, but it works, thank God. Well, we walked home. I was a single young man in those days. I walked a young lady home, several we young folks. And so they asked, Kenneth, did the Lord really heal you? Brother Connor, anointed you go and pray? He said, sure did. Well, we noticed when we came under the street light up there a while ago, and you laughed that one corner of your mouth ran all the way around in your ear almost. You don't look any different. You feel any different? No, I said, nothing I can tell. As far as feeling concerned, the side of my face just feels dead like it did. Well, what makes you think you're healed? I said, I don't think it, I know it. Faith calleth those things which be not as though they were. Well, we don't understand that. I said, I don't understand it either. But it works. It's the Word of God. Well, we left folks, you know, young couple here and there, and finally no one left but just the young lady I was with. We came to her house. She invited me into the living room, and then she called her mother. We were there before we went to church. She called her mother up front, you see. And she got me over under a light, you know, and And she said, "Now, Mama, look at Kenneth's face." Well, another girl I was with named Ima Jean Alexander, and her mother, both of them were little short women, you know. And they was looking up in my face, and I couldn't keep them laughing when I laughed, you know, while one corner of my mouth went all the way around to my ear. And so Miss Alexander said, "Well, Ima Jean, I feel silly. What am I looking for?" You know. So I couldn't keep them laughing, you know. She said, "Well, see," she didn't tell her what happened. She said, "I want you to look at Kenneth's face." She said, "Does his face look any different than it did before we went to church?" Well, Miss Alexander said, "No, not that I can tell." "Why?" "Well," she said, "he thinks he's healed." I said, "I don't think any such a thing. I know it." She said, "What makes you say that?" I said, "The Word of God makes me say it." I said, "You see, I'm talking by faith, see, and walking by faith. They're talking and walking by sight. There's a difference. That's a reason, as he said in that song, you know, I'm peculiar." Amen. You see, and you walk according to the Word of God, and you'll become peculiar and more peculiar to even your fellow Christians around about you, because they're walking by sight and you're walking by faith. Are you listening? And so, Ima Jean said, "Well, you admit you don't feel any different. We can see you don't look any different. What makes you say that?" I said, "The Word of God makes me say it." I said, "You see, by faith I'm healed. Faith calls those things which be not as though they were." "Well, yeah, but I can see that you're not." I said, "That hasn't got what you see. It hasn't got anything to do with what God said is what counts." Miss Alexander said, "Now, Gene, I believe I'd be careful if I was you. Maybe Kenneth knows something about faith that we don't know." Thank God I did. I tried to share it with him, but I did. She said, "Now, after all, you know, we lived over there on North Bradley Street when he was bedfast those 15 months at his grandfather's house on North Collins Street. North Bradley, just two blocks over from Collins." And said, "I had Dr. Robertson. Doctors made house calls in 1933 and 1934, remember? And I had Dr. Robertson out there at the house with Jack. That was one of her boys. And he was the fifth doctor on my case." And she said, "I asked Dr. Robertson about Kenneth." And he said, "Oh," Miss Alexander just shook his head, said "he ought to have been dead. How that boy's lived, we don't know. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I'll give him 90 days. He'll be dead 90 days. I'll guarantee that." Well, those 90 days have run into nearly a half a century. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. Well, glory. Go ahead. That's all right. That's all right with me. Amen. Glory. That's the way I feel, too. If I didn't have this thing around my neck, I'd take off. Praise God. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that's when God's word works for you, when you get enthused about it, thrilled with it. Amen. Hallelujah. So Miss Alexander said, "Maybe Kenneth knows something about faith we don't know." I said, "I do. I do." And I knew, you see, that the manifestation would come. And of course, when it comes, they could see it. So I said, "Ima Jean, I know it's so now. See, you've got to know it's so ahead of time for it to really be manifested. And I know it's so now. But next time you see me, you'll admit it's so." Well, I went home, went to bed. One eye open, one eye shut. But when I woke up the next morning, my face was all right. Every symptom disappeared. Went over to Alexander's house just a grinning, you know, my face straight. And Ima Jean said, "Oh, see, you're healed." "Yeah," I said, "last night, and Brother Connor anointed me the oil." "Well, you weren't healed when you left here." "But I was healed when I left there. Faith calleth those things which be not as though they were." Now, to walk by faith, you see, is actually, and I'm using faith, it works in every area of our life, finances, every realm of life, every area of life, faith is the same. Are you listening? I'm using it primarily in the area of healing here, because there's where you'll have your biggest problems. I know from 43 years of experience. Well, can you do that, though? Isn't it difficult to call those things which be not as though they were when you're in pain? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And I know this from experience, you see, to walk by faith is a constant warfare. You never get to the place where you have arrived. Are you listening to me? And if you think you're going to get there, well, you're wrong. You won't get there till you get to heaven. And it's so easy, really, to slip back into the natural. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. That's a natural thing to do. And we're still living in a physical body that's natural. And if we're not careful, we even born again, spirit-filled people, people who believe in divine healing, people who have faith, are really not exercising it. Now, I seek for ways to say things in wisdom that'll help people and not hinder anybody. I want it very clearly stated, and you know, that we're not opposed to doctors or medicine or medical science in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We just join hands with them and fight the devil. They're against the same devil I'm against. They're fighting the same enemy I'm fighting. Sickness and disease is an enemy. Are you listening to me? The Word of God tells us that's true, you see. And so I tell people all the time, and I've done it, you know, if you need medicine, well, don't have the money to buy it, I'll buy it for you. Amen. I've done that. And I do that, see. But thank God, God has a better way. See, why settle for second best when you have the best? And so, in all these years, 43 years, I've had what I call 43 years of divine health. Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't had some tests. It doesn't mean I haven't been attacked. Because I have. There's some things I haven't had. I haven't had a headache. Last headache I had was August of 1933. I remember exactly. My head hurt for 3 days and nights. Somebody said, you know, got a dark brown headache. Boy, I had one. I hear people talking about the head hurting and the aching. I just wonder, you know, what it would be to have one been as long as, you know, 44 years passed since I had one. I haven't had the flu 43 years. Now, three or four times in that 43 years, the devil tried to put it on me, but the longest any of the symptoms lasted was an hour and a half. They left. Because I didn't take it. I didn't accept it. You know, Brother Engel was saying that night about that. Have you ever heard of the heavenly flu? I only accept things that come from heaven. You ever hear tell anybody having the heavenly flu? You know, there isn't any such thing, you know. No flu up in heaven. Any other kind of sickness. Sickness doesn't come from heaven. There isn't any up there. You ever notice always Hong Kong flu, Asian flu, swine flu. Is that right? Well, I've had a few battles, not too many. I've gone along at times, really, to tell you the truth about it. When you live more in the spirit part of your being than you do your flesh, you won't even know sometimes you have a body. I've gone along for months and never hardly realized I had a body. And we need to develop spiritually. And it's always been my, through these years, 43 years of what I call divine health, if I am attacked in body and I appropriate the word, go through what I know to do, and it doesn't seem to work, then I look to the Lord, you see, and said, now, Lord, wait a minute here, you didn't miss it, I know, but where did I miss it? See, I'm on speaking terms to him, and you can be too, he'll talk to you. He doesn't just talk to preachers. Amen. The Holy Spirit's in you. He is a divine personality. Greater is he, the Bible said, that's in you. He that's in you, not it. He. 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 Jesus said, speaking of the Holy Ghost, when he is come, he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear the Father speak, that shall he speak, you see. Well, that's not talking about talking in tongues. That's talking about the Holy Ghost in you will speak. He talks. He speaks. What does he speak? He whatever hears the Father say, that's what he says right in here. We need to learn to develop that. If you want to study more about it, you come after this next week. We'll have a seminar there in Tulsa on how to be led of the Spirit. We'll go into detail about a lot of that. Don't have time now, of course. Now, notice this. So I always ask you. I know some time ago, last time I had any kind of attack physically, I don't know what it was. Or was it something I ate or what, but I went to bed feeling fine. Woke up about 1:30 in the morning and right in here, not up here in my stomach, not down low, but just right along in here, about where my belt buckle is. There's just like something was just absolutely cutting me like a knife would cut it. Pain, oh, it hurt. Well, I began to pray and appropriate the promises of God and seemed to get some easy and doze off to sleep, see? Never just really quit hurting, but enough that you could start dozing off to sleep and then the minute I'd start dozing off, you see, and quit standing against the thing, well, it'd start again. I'd be awakened. Such pain. I was, to make a long story short, for about 8 hours and something, and pain will wear you down after a while. I was in such pain. Never in my life have I suffered such pain. Just like something would just, I said to God, just like something just had a hold of my finger, like I'd just tearing you. And so I said, finally, you see, you got no rest, you're worn out, physically just weak, pain will wear you down. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I just can't, and I kept appropriating the promises, you know, as we do, going through the motions. I said, I just can't stand that pain anymore. I've suffered as long as I can suffer. I'm getting weaker and weaker. And I just can't take it anymore. And I thought about, you know, one of our board of directors of our band association is a doctor. I thought about calling him, you see. We're not opposed to that. And then I said, Lord, I know you don't miss it. Now, where? I missed it somewhere. You know, the Bible said, this text over in the Old Testament said it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's not something big. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And I said, I missed it somewhere here. I have to have. I have to miss it. Because you don't miss it. You don't fail. Where did I miss it? Just as plain. On the inside of me, just as plain. Right in here, said, you're not calling those things which be not as though they were. See, I knew to do it. I taught on it. You're not calling those things which be not as though. As long as you, you know, said to your wife, I'm still hurting. You're thinking about calling the doctor. You're not calling those things which be not. You're calling it as it is, as though it was. You're not calling as though it wasn't. I saw that. I said, Lord, forgive me. You forgive me. I call those things which be not as though they were. Oh, I just didn't have much pain as ever. I said, I say I'm no longer in pain. I say that I'm well. I call those things which be not as though they were. See, I call it as though I had no pain. Therefore, if I have no pain, I'm going to sleep because I haven't slept all night long. Now I'm going to sleep. Thank you. Amen. Flashy, snappy thing. It all left. Just turn right over. And I sleep time turned over. Never any more symptoms. No more. No more. No more. Not even any soreness. All gone. The minute I started calling those things which be not. See, I wasn't calling those things which be not as though they were, as long as my wife said, well, how are you feeling, honey? Well, I'm just hurting as bad as one. I'm calling things which be as though they are. Can you see that? I said, can you see that? Somebody said, well, I just don't see it. Well, bless your heart. Don't throw it away because you don't. Keep thinking on it. Keep meditating on it. It'll get down in here after a while. Once you see it, you got it made. Once you see it, you got it made. I don't mean see it with your physical eyes. See it with your mind. I mean see it with the eyes of your spirit, your heart, you see. Praise the Lord. No, as long as I'm talking about it and saying I got it, you see, I'm not calling those things which be not as though they were. I didn't realize it. It's just so easy. It's just so easy to slip back into the natural and walk by sight and walk by feelings and walk by the flesh instead of walking by the Spirit. Can you say amen? Well, I'm glad I'm a believer, aren't you? I'm not a doubter, I'm a believer. How many of you are? Amen. Say it out loud, I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. Say this out loud. I call those things which be not as though they were. Now close your eyes and say that loudly enough with me that you can hear your own voice say it. I call those things which be not as though they were. Say it again. I call those things which be not as though they were. One more time. Now keep saying that until it gets down on the inside of you. One other verse before we leave. Our time's run away from us this morning. You have your Bibles there. I want to confirm what we're saying. Turn to 2 Corinthians now. She confirmed it, the Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. All right, let's see if what we're saying is scriptural. Is it true? Can we prove it by more than one witness or two witnesses? Well, here's another one. See, we looked there at Romans 4:17. We looked at Mark 11:24. Now, let's look here at 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Here's another verse, faith verse. Now, notice it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, how can you look at things that are not seen? Only one way, with the eye of faith. Amen, isn't that right? That's the only way you can do it. With the eye of faith. While we look at things that are not seen. Hallelujah. See, that's another way of saying faith calleth those things which be not as though they were. Isn't it? Isn't it? Now, before we quit, let's go just another step. Let's give you another scripture. Let's just keep driving the nail in the board. Amen. Turn back here in the Old Testament for another text that'll prove what I'm saying. Help you to see it, perhaps. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. I trust it'll become one of yours. Proverbs 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, that is my words, are life unto those that find them, and help to all their flesh. Again, in my Bible, there's a little number 2 there, numeral 2 there. By the word help, I look over in the margin, it says, the Hebrew says medicine. My words are medicine to all their flesh. My words, God said, are two things. They're life unto those that find them, and my words are medicine to all their flesh. All of it. All your flesh. Amen. Amen. Nerves, stomach, liver, kidney. Praise God, all your flesh, bones, marrow, blood, all your flesh. But now, wait a minute. It just won't work automatically just because he said it. He gives you the direction for taking his medicine. You know, there are directions for taking medicines in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Or what was the direction? My son, attend to my words. They, my words, are life to those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. Number one, attend to my word. That is, put my words first. Put my words first. Second, incline your ears to my saying. Listen to what I've got to say. Third, let them not depart from before your eyes. Eyes. Let what not depart from before your eyes? My words. My words. Well, then, if his words doesn't depart from before your eyes, then if you're sick, you'll see yourself well. Because, see, his word said he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. His word said, surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. His word said, by whose stripes you're healed. If those words do not depart from before thine eyes, then you're bound to see yourself well. If you don't see yourself well, then his words have departed from before your eyes, and you're not taking his medicine according to the prescription, so it won't work. Are you hearing me? Amen. Give the tape back there on the table, God's medicine. Methodist minister said to me over in South Carolina, he said, Brother Egan, he said, I had a lady, this United Methodist pastor, spirit-filled. He'd been to her camp meetings up in Tulsa. He said, who had terminal cancer. She's bedfast at home with terminal cancer. I was visiting her every day. I took her some of your tapes because she's just so weak, so far gone, she can't handle the books to read. But somebody turned the tape recorder on, she can hear that. She'd just lie there with her eyes closed and listen. And I'd go every day, but I'd take a different tape. And so he said, on the inside of me, I didn't realize what it was. Well, but something kept saying, you know, there in Romans 10:17, it said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But something would just shut off here. On the inside of me said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. And stop right there. That's not all the verse, but stop, you see. The rest of the verse says, and hearing the word of God. But see, and for 3 days, on the inside of me, I'd be walking around, you know, going about my affairs of life, and something in here keeps saying, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. And so he said, the third day I caught it. I said, I believe what the Lord trying to say to me is that instead of taking a different tape every day, just select one and let her just keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing that one. So he said, I took your tape, God's medicine, and I told her what I believed the Lord was saying to me. Fold and faith comes by hearing. I said, don't listen to any other but this one. Just listen to this one over and over and over and over again. So he said she kept listening to God's medicine. And that Methodist pastor said to me, she was and is completely healed of terminal cancer. Hallelujah. See, God's medicine works. He said it's health to all their flesh. He said it's health, my words are health to all their flesh.